of beauty. What does the word beautiful make you think of? Maybe the radiance of a stunning watercolor sunset, or the majesty of a snow-covered mountain. Beautiful. How about four-part harmony in perfect tune? Or the tiny hands of a newborn baby, or an exquisite meal? Beautiful. My name is Nicola Mountfort, kia ora koutou, and I work at Carey Baptist College, so I love a perfectly crafted essay with impeccable footnotes. Beautiful. I'm also a Baptist pastor, so I love a beautiful short sermon. What does the word beautiful make you think of? Well, beautiful is a common word, and it's in scripture too. So let's get to the first scripture that I want to look at today. It's from Romans 10 verse 15 and Isaiah 52 verse 7. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Well, during 2022, we have contemplated this short verse at Carey, and we framed our chapel time around it. It's been beautiful, but feet. I mean, honestly, beautiful is not a word that jumps to my mind when describing feet. I remember a few years ago, my big toe got so inflamed that I couldn't walk. I went to the doctor who heated up a needle, thrust it through my nail, and a geyser of pus erupted. Sorry, I should have given you a warning about that one. Feet are not my picture of beauty. But in Romans, the Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah to say that the feet of those who bring good news are beautiful. In this letter to the Romans, Paul is actually talking about the chain of steps that must be followed if a person is to be saved. Let's read it. So Romans 10 from verse 13. Follow along if you want to. So Paul has been talking about the different people in Rome who are Christians. In their case, there were Jews and there were non-Jews, so Greeks. And he's saying that none is better or worse than the other. None is more Christian than the other. And Paul kicks this bit off by saying that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. And then he lists a bunch of rhetorical questions which show how to get to that point of being saved. Let's have a look at the questions. So the first question Paul asks is, but how are they going to call on one in whom they have not believed? Paul's not looking for an answer. He just wants to make people think. How is anyone going to call on Jesus if they have not believed? And the Roman church and the church of Aotearoa, we listen to this while Paul is talking, shaking their heads, because the answer to this question is, well, they can't. Belief is essential to salvation in Jesus. And Paul goes on, he asks the church, how are they going to believe in one of whom they have never heard? They can't. And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? They can't. And how are they to proclaim Jesus unless they are sent? Seems that Paul is now referring to those inside the church. But the answer again is that they can't. Without being sent, none of this is going to work and no one is going to be saved. Then Paul finishes with verse 15. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Sent, proclaim, hear, believe, salvation. The feet are beautiful because they carry those who are sent, and those who are sent are bringing the good news of Jesus Christ, proclaiming it so that others can hear it and believe it and experience salvation. Their feet are not necessarily aesthetically pleasing, but they are beautiful because they bring good news at just the right time. Isaiah, where Paul was quoting from, was referring to the beauty of the feet of those who came running over the mountains, proclaiming the return from exile. Those were stunning feet carrying such good news. But if the feet of the Isaiah messengers were beautiful, Paul's implying that the feet of those who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ are even more beautiful, beautiful feet. Now, Jesus' feet were dirty that evening as he and the other guests reclined at the low table. They had just laid down on their left sides, feet angled out to the right, slotted around the table. They were propped up on their left arms, leaning on tapestry cushions. Simon the Pharisee, he had great taste in decor. And their right hands were kept for eating and gesticulating in lively conversation. When Jesus had arrived at the dinner, it was one of those awkward moments when people arrive at a party, hovering in the entranceway. And Simon didn't even show Jesus to the bathroom to use the foot basin to wash off the dust and grime. An embarrassing oversight. Simon didn't even offer any baby wipes or paper towels or even bring out the pump bottle of sanitizer, nothing. And Jesus' feet were a bit stinky. He is human, after all. And no holy kissed greeting. How rude of Simon. Oh well, it promised to be a good evening, a good feed and spicy conversation. Well, Jesus was just starting to relax with the other guests. They were chatting about the weather. Ooh, another scorcher today. When Jesus felt a little dribble of water run down his feet. He looked up. It's no rain, hasn't been rain for months, and no birds in the ceiling. But where did that rain come from? Jesus giggled. It felt like when his kid sister Marion ran a feather across his feet. So ticklish. And then a beautiful aroma started spreading around the room, taking over from that of the unwashed feet. She had been really nervous. Her heart was beating out of her chest. She'd heard the message of life change leading to forgiveness of sins from wild, crazy John in the desert. John the Baptizer told them that he was paving the way for the Messiah, for Jesus. And today a little bird had told her that Jesus was going to be at Simon's place for dinner. She couldn't believe it. She was so eager to meet him, so she raced on over. But hers wasn't an easy life. Giving her body to men had become her only way to survive. She didn't want that, but she desperately wanted to see this man, Jesus. She had snuck in on tiptoe, unnamed, unknown. She summoned all her courage to approach the feet of Jesus. Overcome with gratitude, her tears fell as water and washed his feet. Her hair was loose, untied, seemingly erotic to some, but her hair became her towel that the host had neglected to offer. Jesus' dirty, smelly feet were cleansed by this woman. She honored him. His feet were beautiful to her, the feet of the sent one. They brought her life, freedom, peace, joy, right when and where she needed it. She took her jar of perfume in its cool, heavy alabaster stone jar. It was worth a year's wages. And she anointed his feet. She couldn't reach his head to perform this priestly role, so she poured out her lavish, priceless, without limit gratitude onto the feet of the sent one. Jesus is the sent one. His feet are not pedicured, weren't even washed yet. They are beautiful. I reckon that just like this woman, when any of us encounter Jesus in the flesh, surely our gratitude to him will be lavish. We'll pour out whatever we have in extravagant worship to him. We already worship Jesus here and now, but how much more will we do this face to face? Thank you, Jesus, for your feet. But after encountering Jesus, I'll bet that the alabaster jar woman took the good news with her and passed it on. How could she keep quiet about this Jesus? Her feet would then have become beautiful to someone else. Each of us who are Jesus followers have encountered the gospel through someone else, through someone who was sent. We, I know I am, grateful for Jesus' feet like the woman was, but I wonder, who else's feet are we each grateful for? I have a little story. My 97-year-old grandma, she told me that her mother-in-law, she used to pray that one of her grandsons would become a Baptist minister. My great-grandma, Ida Allen, she was a strong, feisty Christian woman and was a proud member of Palmerston North Central Baptist Church. Shout out to Palmerston North if you're watching this. And so the story goes, as I said, that Ida prayed for this every day, which could be an exaggeration. Either way, she was faithful in praying that her family would encounter Jesus. I suspect that Ida would have a chuckle that one of her great granddaughters became a Baptist pastor. But considering that her own mother and mother-in-law both signed the suffragette petition, I think she'd be pleased. So I am thankful for the feet of Ida, who prayed beyond herself for others. There's no way that I'm saying that I am the sole answer to my great-grandmother's prayers. Many of my extended family are also sent followers of Jesus. But Ida's feet are beautiful to me. Now, my parents too have beautiful feet, Dave and Marilyn Griffiths. They showed me and my siblings how to faithfully serve God and how to creatively share the gospel. We were puppeteers ministering around the country most weeks for almost 20 years. My parents have beautiful feet. And I studied at Carey. And the lecturers who I've learned from, many of whom are now my colleagues, have opened my eyes deeply to the good news. They have beautiful feet. So whose feet are you grateful for? Now, when I was thinking about this passing on of the gospel, the paradigm of sent, proclaim, hear, believe, salvation, a picture came to my mind. And it's not a very sophisticated picture. It's a little bit embarrassing, actually. It's a picture of a conga line. It's a dance, you know, where you join to the person in front of you, and there are people behind you who you can't even see, but you're dancing together, a chain of people, all dependent on the one in front. Imagine the conga line of Jesus. He's at the front of the line, leading the way, dancing. There's people in front of you. We've just given thanks for some of them, but who is behind you? Who sees the beauty of your feet? Do you know that your feet are beautiful too? Think about who you've reached out to in the name of Jesus. Maybe you've told people about Jesus or sat alongside someone who is hurting. Maybe you've served practically, being Jesus' hands and feet to hurting people, seeking justice for them. There are so many ways to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Who have you prayed for? Who are you praying for? Who could you pray for? I mean, Jesus was sent, the woman was sent, and we are a sent people too. Who are the people behind you in the conga line of Jesus who think your feet are beautiful too? To finish, let's think again about the woman pouring fragrance onto Jesus' feet would have smelt amazing. Some Christian traditions use fragrance as a part of worship to give a full sensory experience. They burn incense, and part of the idea is that the fragrance infuses into your clothing, so you take the fragrance with you into your week as a reminder to continue to worship. So, later today, if you can, how about finding a fragrance to put onto your skin? This doesn't have to be anything flash, but when you smell this, remember the utter beauty of Jesus's feet. Thank you, Jesus. When you smell this, remember the feet, the beautiful feet of those who you are grateful for, who are in front of you in Jesus's conga line. When you smell this, remember the beauty of your own feet. Thank you for your feet. Keep walking. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.